Now here's your host, Kim Love.
And good morning. Welcome to our Thursday morning edition of Public Pulse, sponsored by Century 21 BHJ. We'll have a two-part program this morning. On the second part of Public Pulse, Kristen Marcus, who's the director of CHAPS, will be our guest on Public Pulse. On the first part of Public Pulse this morning, we have as our guest artist E.K. Wimmer, who along with his wife has opened a show out at the UCross Foundation, and they will be having the official opening reception this Saturday from 4 to 6, to which everyone is invited. So, E.K., good morning. Nice to have you here this morning.
Good morning. Thanks for inviting me.
Now, would you have your feelings hurt if I suggested that you might not be a household name in Sheridan yet?
Yes, I think that's safe to say.
That's safe to say. You're not going to say, well, you know, what do you mean he doesn't? People, not everyone here knows us. So why don't you just start, tell us a little bit about yourself and also about your wife, who is also co-artist in the show now out at the UCross Foundation.
Okay. Well, my wife's name is Mariah Rose, and we were doing our graduate work in Denver. And then in 2009, we chose to relocate to Wyoming. So I took a job in Casper, Wyoming, and we've been there ever since. We bought a home there, had two children, and we were working artists for years before that, but really when we got into Wyoming is when we felt we had been kind of given this new open arm embrace of the whole state, and we started showing around the state in group shows and solo exhibitions, and just started to kind of form a large family, as it is in this state with most fields. There's not a lot of people here, and so you run into the same people over and over, and we just really enjoyed the experience of living and working in Wyoming. And so it's kind of led
up to this. You haven't had a show up here before, have you?
No, not at UCross. I was a resident at UCross a couple years ago.
I say, was that after you moved to Wyoming, or were you a resident then said, hey, Wyoming's such a nice place, let's move here.
No, I had been here a few years, and then I found out about it through another friend, John DeRizzo, that lives up in Cody. He's a well-established artist there, and he recommended it, and I did my residency. And when I did my residency, I was there with four people from New York City and three from LA, and I was the only local, considered local, and they were all amazed and said how wonderful Wyoming is. And I said, well, yeah, I know. So we
okay, well, now how did they, you said that you had to visit with an acquaintance of yours to find out about the UCross Foundation, but then there are these folks, and you were living in Casper at the time, right? Mm-hmm. But you hadn't heard of the UCross Foundation at that
point? No, it was something that was off my radar as far as artist residencies. I knew we had a few around the state, but it wasn't something that I was even considering. And then I was curating a show. I'm the curator of the Nicolaysen Art Museum.
Now, is that what caused you to move here to Wyoming?
No, it was to become the curator of the Wyoming Veterans Museum, which is a state museum. And then I just took a different job a few years later. But I was putting on a show of this artist, John DeRizzo, and he was telling me about this artist residency program up here and how beautiful it was and special these people are. And so he was looking at where I was in my life with a young child and working dad, and thought that I could use a couple weeks off to go focus on
break, huh?
I need a little bit of a break. And he said he was about my age when he first did his. So he made the recommendation, and then I applied and was accepted and spent 2 weeks up here. And it definitely was a wonderful experience. And I've been in touch with this staff and organization ever since.
So has your wife forgiven him for that?
Yeah.
Like, right. What do you mean? He needs
he
a break.
He gets to go. Yeah.
He gets to go. He needs a break. What about me?
I keep telling her, I think you need to
get
there.
She knows about that.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've encouraged her to.
I have. She's a little less willing to take off for 2 weeks with the kid. You know, leaving the kids.
She
behind.
Can't. She doesn't trust you.
That I
you,
don't. I, yeah.
You don't trust you that she can.
It's
leave.
Up for debate.
Maybe when the children get a little bit older, she can trust you.
That's right.
Okay. Anyway, so you've got. Where else have you shown around Wyoming?
Quite a bit. We've shown in Laramie a few times, and up in Jackson at the Art Association, Lander Arts Center. Quite a bit in Casper. I was in the Capitol Art Exhibition down in Cheyenne last year. And
well,
then
it's probably easy for you to get a show in Casper if you're the curator of the Nicolaysen Museum.
Yeah, I would hope that they don't.
Who do we need for next exhibit? You know, you raise your hand. And
no, it's a very supportive community of artists in Casper in particular. So we've got a lot of great galleries and museums and organizations down there. And then I will be showing also at the State Museum at the end of this year, running through the spring. I have a solo exhibition down there in Cheyenne, so that'll be nice. And it's actually the work that will be on display in the State Museum is the work I created during my residency at UCross. So,
okay. Is that the same work that you're showing now at the UCross?
It is not. The work that's on display at UCross right now is a later body of work. So this was work that I had created during my residency and then just packed in a studio box and hadn't got around to showing it yet. And now it'll finally be seen at the State Museum later this year.
Okay. Now, the title of the exhibition that you and your wife are share an exhibition? Is that what?
It's a two-person show, and we haven't done that in a while, so.
Okay. It didn't work out so well last time.
No, it did. It's just that we're both very busy.
It worked out so well you stopped doing it again.
Yeah, well, we both have our own kind of professional tracks as artists, so we don't always get to work together, and this was a really nice opportunity to do that again.
Okay. Anyway, the title of the show is West, and it's W-E in parentheses and then S-T.
Correct.
But it's West. Now, you want to explain the title for folks?
Absolutely. So the concept of the show, as we were knocking around ideas after we had been offered the space, was to do something that we could both relate to so that we could work together as in a two-person show and not clash with our styles or ideas. And we settled on this idea of the West, but in particular, why the we is in parentheses is because it's an emphasis on us, of we in the West. Because
no, you mean the we, you and your wife?
My wife and I, okay. Yes. And because she was born in Montana and has lived kind of throughout the West. And although I was born in New York, I've lived my whole life in the West as well. And in our adult life together,
you escaped at an early age.
Yeah. Right. In our adult life, after we were married, we've lived in New Mexico and Montana and Colorado and Wyoming. And so it seemed like a good idea to focus on those Western states and how they've kind of shaped us, not only in our relationship, but as artists as well.
So. And how has that worked out?
It's been great. It was a nice guiding force because it was vague enough that you could be very creative within, you know, that structure. But it's been neat to look back at the subjects that have shaped us during our time here. And it spans everything from getting married and going to college to having children. Some ups and downs, you know, it's got some of the material in the show is a little bit more serious. Some of it's more lighthearted, but it really is a nice little snapshot of about 20 years worth of our life together in the West.
Now, would it be fair to say that someone who comes to the show and doesn't know either your work or your wife's would not be confused as to which pieces are yours and which pieces are hers?
Yeah, we have lucked out that our style does not look very similar. I know a lot of artist couples that they do have similar work, but ours is very distinctive because mine tend to be a little bit more dreary and black and white, and hers are always very bright and colorful. She also, for this show, only did paintings, so 20 paintings, whereas I worked in multiple mediums. That's an easy separation right there.
Okay, well, that's what I was going to say. Looking at it, it appears as though she is, would it be fair to say, a more traditional artist painter, mm-hmm. Whereas your work would be eclectic. I mean, where are the mediums? You got a whole variety. She has one medium that she works in, at least in the show.
Correct.
Is that traditional that she only does work in one medium, basically?
Yep. For the most part, painting. Although within that show, she works in oil and acrylic and gouache and all these other different styles of painting. But it is just painting at the end of the day, so it's easy to kind of identify as that. Whereas with myself, it's a bit more experimental and conceptual. So I bounced around depending on the idea that I wanted to convey. I've always been that way my whole life. It just depends on if it should be a painting or a photo or a collage or a film or whatever.
So how many different mediums do you use in your work or overall, and how many different mediums do you have in the current exhibit at the UCross Foundation?
I kind of have failed to find the end of my exploration of mediums that I can use in my career. But as far as this show goes, I have 8 collages, and then I have about 6 paintings, 3 photos, and then a 40-minute film installation.
Okay, so now how does a 40-minute film installation work?
Well, that was a component.
It's a film that lasts 40 minutes.
We have a separate room where it's on loop. And how that came about was all the work relates to pretty much each year of our life together as a collective whole. And I've worked in film and installation a lot in the past. And I thought what would be interesting is to almost create a film collage where I could take little snippets of pop culture, say music videos or cult cinema, movies that as artists growing up, we are influenced by and we kind of catalog in our brain and take to our own practice in the studio, mixed with I've done film for many years. So what I had done over 40 minutes was chronologically kind of taken pop cultural references and taken little 10-second clips or so and cut them with my own films. And it creates this kind of living document of 20 years worth of inspiration as artists that has formed us. And then on top of that, I took two compositions by the Hungarian composer Franz Liszt to lay down as a soundtrack, but then I mixed it with my own film compositions because I work out in LA on movies. And so I just kind of intertwined those, and it became, in my mind, a collage, but more of a visual collage, which is something I had not done before. Usually when I work in film, it's very traditional, like a movie.
Is that the first time you've done something like this?
To this degree, for sure. And it was an experiment. I didn't really know how it would turn out, but I was up for anything. And the end result was pleasantly surprising. So,
okay. So now, is that the most recent medium you've chosen to experiment with?
No, film's been in my life since I was a teenager. Most of these have been. I would say the one that is the most current is collage. However, I've been doing that for about a decade now. But as of late, the last few years, I've really been focusing primarily on collage. It's a medium that's something about it works for me right now. And the ideas that I have, I can convey really well through that medium.
Now, do you have, you indicated that there could be some other mediums that you want to explore in the future. Do you have some other mediums that you've got in the back of your head and say, okay, when I get a little chance, I'm going to try that medium?
Yeah, for sure. I did a solo exhibition at Casper College for their Humanities Fest last year, and it was an installation on the French Revolution. And that was the first time I had done sculpture, really. I'd never worked in three-dimensional sculpture like clay. And I worked with the ceramics instructor, Mike Olson, to create these cast skulls, and we had them in a stack to reference the revolution and the beheadings during that time in the French Revolution. And I had so much fun working in clay ceramics and firing that I thought that's something that I'd like to pursue more in my future work is sculpture. And then also strange things like miniature set design had started with this show. Originally, I was going to start building almost, which is a dying art now that we have, you know, digital technology, but back in the day, when you'd watch a film, those sets were very elaborate, and they were all hand-built miniature set designs. And I think that that's a dying art form that I would like to somehow find a way to bring back in into the fold. And I'm just trying to figure that out right now. But I've always got ideas.
So in some of the films that we might be familiar with, the sets we've seen aren't really they're the real sets in the movie, but they aren't full size sets.
Correct. Yeah.
Can you give us some examples of maybe some films we might be familiar with where and how they use those?
Yeah, a lot of the, you know, up until recently, really in the last, you know, maybe by the late 80s into early 90s is when that started to die out. But films like, did you ever see the original Clash of the Titans? You know, that had a lot of stop motion animation.
And I don't recall that.
You know, or more pop culture ones like Beetlejuice or something, where he lives in this suburban life, but he's got his own miniature set built down there. A lot of the old kind of Godzilla movies, all those things are the easiest references, where it looks as though there's a giant monster stomping through the street, but really those buildings are only knee-high, you know, cardboard boxes painted to look like a city. And there's something really fascinating about creating a world that's the size of your desk. But when you put it on cinema, it looks as though, you know, it's
so where they just film the actor on with a white screen behind him, and then they film the set, mm-hmm. and then they
yeah, there's very different ideas with, like, with the old Japanese films, you would have an actor in an actual costume, like a Godzilla costume, so you'd have to build the set appropriate to his size to make Godzilla look as large as you wanted in the city. And then there were stop motion animation, which is also a dying art form, where you would have, say, a room constructed in miniature form, and then the characters would be made out of clay, and you would essentially, every second, move that arm or that face just a little, and you would stream those photos together by the thousands to create this claymation where it looks like it's actually walking around and moving. And I think that that's something that's really fascinating about having your hands on the art form and you know, having control over it.
It's going to be pretty ambitious to bring this back with computer animation.
It is, and a lot more costly and time-consuming, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Tom E.K. We're going to take a break for a couple of words on some of our sponsors. We'll be back with our guest, artist E.K. Wimmer, who, along with his wife, Maria Rose, has opened a show recently out at the U-Cross Foundation, and there will be an opening reception this Saturday from 4 until 6, and everyone is welcome out there for the opening reception. Okay, you are listening to Public Pulse on News Talk 930 KROE Sheridan. Sponsored by Century 21 BHJ. Our guest again, artist E.K. Wimmer, who, along with his wife, Maria Rose, recently opened a show out at the U-Cross Foundation. They will be having their opening reception between 4 and 6 this Saturday out there. Now, E.K., you've also got a little special something that as part of the reception that's not normally part of the receptions out there, don't you?
Yeah, it was a big idea that sometimes if you put it out there, it happens and you just have to take a risk. But I was at a U-Cross Foundation reception for another artist a while back, and I had already been told that we were going to be having a show at the gallery down the road so I could start planning the space. And I was there with Rachel Bailey, who's the director of the Wyoming Symphony Orchestra in Casper, Wyoming. She's a personal friend of mine. We had gone together. And so we were in the gallery talking, and one thing led to another, knowing that I was going to be using some music by Franz Liszt in my film. I said, well, wouldn't it be fun to get some members of the orchestra to come perform Franz Liszt in person during the reception, which seemed kind of, you know, outrageous to consider. And then, well, there was the director standing right there. So I guess if anybody's going to make it happen, it was. And she said, well, let me see what I can do and talk to some musicians. And it took a good couple months of you know, trying to pin everybody down, but we found out that we will be having somebody playing cello, violin, viola, and they're going to come set up in the gallery and for an hour during our reception perform music from the Romantic period while we're having our reception, which is a real special treat. And one of the main reasons I wanted to do this was not only to just have some nice classical music during the reception, but also because I have participated with the orchestra, you know, with the symphony attending their events, and I've been a resident at U-Cross, and I could see this collaboration happening between those two organizations that would be really beneficial. So I think this is a great way to make introductions between two great groups we have here in the state. So I'm really happy it all worked out, and I think people are going to
just
enjoy
one more
it.
Medium. Now, we talked that you have used a variety of mediums in your work there, mm-hmm. but we didn't really talk about what the subject was, other than to refer to it as being the West.
Right. Yeah. And so the subject was my wife, Mariah, wanted to go ahead and do each year, one painting for every year, which I thought was a little ambitious, but she pulled it off because she can. And they're very different sizes. So they're not all small, simple pieces. Some of them are pretty large. And she just started from year one and came up with an idea or a memory that stood out in that first year and worked her way all the way to currently. So, you know, some of them are about the birth of our children. Some are about the loss of children. Some are about us living in the West, moving to different states. She created four large pieces, one for each state. And as you have a brochure in front of you, obviously the listeners don't, but one of the interesting pieces in the show is this giant covered wagon that's on fire coming at you. And the idea was that we came into Wyoming, you know, on almost on fire with this mission to really pursue art more professionally. And it also is a throwback to her grandmother homesteaded in Wyoming way back in the day. Great-grandmother, sorry. And so it's been an interesting dynamic to try and have these compositions that are about our life, but also reference the West. I did four collages in particular to each state as well. So with Wyoming, I have a little buffalo with a outlaw bandana and just kind of playing around with iconic images. And then I did a whole series of all eight phases of the moon. And the reason for that was to have not only the phases of our relationship and life, but also the moon being that constant throughout the West, especially with our open skies in each of these Western states, that no matter where you are or what's happening, you can look up and have it there in your life as a reference. And so it's been neat to see all of this work. There's probably almost close to 40 pieces between the two of us into this one gallery. And we weren't sure how it was going to work, but they had a guest curator. Jane Wagner-Deschner came down and curated the show for us. And I didn't know how she was going to manage all that. We just dumped it off and said good luck. And she did a beautiful job.
Are you able to successfully manage both of your competitive juices? Because I assume that these pieces are for sale.
They are for sale, yes.
And so do you say, okay, whose piece, who sells more? And, you know, your wife sells more than you do. And so, you know, it's kind of.
Yeah, surprisingly, in all honesty, we've never had that. It's always
been. But now that I've mentioned it.
Yeah, maybe now I'll start it. No, interestingly, it's always just been we want the other to succeed. And there's been no ill will or no competitiveness. I think it just comes with the territory. When you're both working as artists, you quickly learn to not let that be an issue. I do know some artist couples that maybe have a little bit more difficulty working together in such close proximity. But for us, it's been the opposite. We're very supportive. And as we mentioned in this show statement here, is that really each piece that's in the show couldn't have been created without the influence of the other. So they really do rely on us as a couple, which is makes it more appropriate for this show to be a two-person show.
Okay. About running out of time here. So E.K. Wimmer, thanks for being our guest on Public Pulse. Good luck with your show again. It's open now out at the UCross Foundation, but there will be the official opening reception from 4 to 6 this Saturday with a guest appearance from some members of the Casper Symphony Orchestra. So, and how long will the show be on out there?
It goes through middle of June, so about June 10th, I believe.
June 10th. Okay. Thanks for being our guest. All right, we'll take a break and be back with Kristen Marcus from CHAPS. You're listening to Public Pulse on News Talk 930 KROE Sheridan.